captive and he gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended. What does that mean? But that it means he also first descended into the lower depths of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fit all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, all for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
I'd like to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. This is for workers for the harvest. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
Well, on this great day of celebration, we want to take a few minutes to look at leadership. And ask ourselves a few questions like, do we really need leadership? Is it really necessary? Aren't we doing just fine on our own? What is the point of leadership? Can we avoid it somehow? And for most of us, we generally hesitate at the thought of someone being our leader. We generally prefer to be in charge ourselves. Thank you very much. Authority and submission are words that come with leadership. Words that freak us out a little bit, make us uncomfortable. Mankind itself has not exactly given us confidence in this area. History is full of men and women who have abused brutally their use of authority and their role of leadership. Most of us have experienced on some levels being hurt by leaders or misled by leaders, or even betrayed by leaders. To give another human being that much influence in my life is not something most of us are quick to sign up for. Even a good person is not going to be a perfect leader. They'll make mistakes. They'll have selfish moments, which means at some point, if they're my leader, there will be ill effects on me. So with all these things that we have experienced, it's normal for us to have a little bit of fear when we think of leaders and who our leaders will be and who they are and the role they play in our lives. We want to know things like, how much authority will they have exactly? What will I be powerless to control? And these things are okay to ask, and they're fair questions. But what's not okay is to throw out the bishop with the bathwater. In Romans 13, it reminds us that God himself established all authorities. It was his idea to have leaders. Throughout his word, we see him calling men and women to lead his people. When the nation of Israel was in slavery, God called a man, Moses, who was freaked out of his mind at what God wanted him to do, which probably was the factor that helps us know when we're on the right track, when God is calling us. When it's truly God, it freaks us out a bit. When it was time to take the promised land, God called Joshua to lead the people in. When the nation of Israel was oppressed and far from God, he called leaders to bring them back to him. And when God himself came to establish on earth his church, he chose men who he would build his church on. So if God established leadership, then it's our responsibility, to the best of our ability, to try and understand the model of leadership that God has designed and established, and especially for the church. Until a year ago, I really had no idea what a bishop did or was, other than that they wore big hats. They were generally old. You are sitting in a rocking chair, my friend. And movies tended to like to make fun of them. I did not realize that the original 12 apostles actually laid their hands on and conferred their ministry of oversight to other men who would carry on that legacy and that oversight of the church. I did not realize that these men did not find it appropriate to use the name apostle and wanted to separate themselves somewhat from the original 12. And so the word bishop was chosen. I did not know that bishop was in the Bible. Apparently I did not have a King James version that I was reading. I did not know that the same word also means overseer. So learning all these things, I thought to myself, there's a lot that I don't know. But more importantly, it doesn't really matter to me what we name our leaders. What matters to me is that there was actually something set in place by God. A model that He established. A model that provided such incredible support and oversight to the church in its early days that it could grow by the thousands in a day, expand across the known world in 300 years, and take over the very empire that persecuted it. And it excites me to think that we could be a part of that lineage, that legacy, that model that God established. And once we get the right structure in mind, we now have to try to understand what leadership is supposed to do. What is its purpose? If we ask 10 random people here today to come and explain what the main purpose for leadership is, we would get a variety of answers. And unfortunately, I fear most of them would not be God's answer. And this would be due to the tremendous amount of influence the world has on us in our thinking. And especially in the area of leadership and what it's all about. And what it means to be a king or a president or a ruling authority. And those things affect us. But God's word tells us to not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so we desperately look to God's word this morning for the example, for the insight as to what leadership is all about. There is much to learn about leadership and many examples from God's word. And although we cannot cover everything we need to in the area of leadership today, we can at least take a look at the big picture, the reoccurring themes that ensure that we are on the right track. And so we're going to look today to God's word in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 24 and 30. A dispute arose again among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. And Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves." So God gives us some examples of what leadership is not about. And those who lord it are using it improperly. Those who think, "I am the all supreme power,"
You must do what I say when I say it. Go now and do it.
That is not the picture that God has for us as leaders. That's not the model. And it says that leaders should not be the benefactors. They should not be the ones who benefit from their position of authority. So who should benefit then? It should be the people under the role of authority, under the leadership. The purpose of the leadership is to serve those under their authority. And this applies to every area of leadership you can think of. Whether you're a politician, whether you run a business and you're the boss, a supervisor, whether you're a teacher, whether you're the dad in a home, whether you're the mother of children and a parent. It's easiest for us to point at the guys at the top in the powerful positions. But this applies to all of us wherever we're at, and we're all leading something usually. You have been placed in your role of leadership by God to serve. There's other pieces and parts to it, but this, if you don't get this part, you're going to do everything else wrong. And whenever I'm unsure of what to do, this text reminds me of my role as the leader. When I'm unsure how to handle a situation or what to do, this helps keep me on the right track as a parent, as a pastor, or whatever role I find myself in leadership. It's not about me. It's about what's best for those under my care. It's not about controlling them. It's about inspiring them. And when I'm sitting in my chair watching TV and I've got the remotes and I'm stuffing my face and I'm ordering my kids to deal with everything that's going on in the house, and it suddenly occurs to me, I feel like King Tut right now. Perhaps the Lord is not impressed with me at this moment. And I get off my bottom. That's a word I've learned from Todd to use instead of others. He's taught me many things. In the church, it's about inspiring people to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And to love others above ourselves. And the only way to teach that is to model that. And that's why God tells us that if we don't have a servant mind, we will never do that. In the home, it's the same mission. We as parents can often treat our children with lower respect than we would others. Our discipline, our training of our children needs to be full of love and done out of love. Leadership in the church is the same. We do it in a loving and a gentle and a respectful way. There's a huge connection between parenting and fathering and mothering and the role of pastors and leaders in the church. It's almost identical. And this is something that Todd and Bishop Ron have taught me so much about. And I remember the day that I started to get it, that pastoring was actually just fathering. That's what it was all about. And I was afraid of of my role as a pastor. I was constantly doubting my call, that it was something that I could do and do rightly. But their modeling and their encouragement to me helped me get a right perspective. And I realized I love being a dad. I can even do that, a half-decent job of that. Maybe I really can be a pastor. Instead of doubting my call, I just began to embrace it by having the right understanding and having the right leadership model it for me. I have personally benefited in tremendous ways from Todd's leadership over the years. As a 15-year-old young man, when I got saved, one of the first people I heard speak was Todd. And maybe I just didn't know any better, but I thought he was pretty awesome. But I remember about a year into my young Christianity, I was at a place called Senior High Weekend, and Todd was preaching. And I can't remember his words exactly. It has something to do about going and telling everybody in the world about Jesus. It was something along that lines, so sound doctrine. But he imparted something that day to me. I thought I was too getting the messy part in the first service. But he imparted something to me that day by the Spirit of God that made a 16-year-old boy go home and dedicate the rest of his high school days to reaching his friends. I vowed to not have a girlfriend, to not seek that, to not look for that, but to do nothing but pour into my friends and reach them for the Lord. And as I was leaving that place, I was driving to a hockey game that I had to play that day. And we were in the provincials. It was the semifinals. It was a big game. I was driving to meet up with our team. And the whole way there, the Spirit of God was telling me that you need to tell these guys about me. And I went through this series of events of rejecting what God was saying and accepting. All the way there, I was crying and weeping. I'm not going to do it. There's no way I can do it. I'm going to do it. Todd said, I have to do it. I'm going to do it. But I can't do it. And I went through this wrestling, my 5-hour drive to get to this place. By the time I got there, I was just a mess. I was convinced I wasn't going to do it by the time I got there. We play the hockey game, and after the game, we lost, and our season is over. And I'm sitting in this room, and I was the last guy to get there, so I'm at the end of the narrowest room I've ever seen. It was a perfect preaching hall. And I'm sitting there, and God says, you're going to do it. I'm like, I'm not going to do it. Yes, you are. But something was imparted me to that day. And I gave a word to those guys, and I don't even remember what I said, not a word. I remember looking around the room as I'm talking, thinking, what am I doing? I have no idea what I said, but the power of God was upon me, and that was something that was imparted to me by a leader, by a man, who the Spirit of God was in. And since coming here to work with Todd, he has constantly been imparting into me. In my years of ministry before, 14 years I was in ministry, and they wanted me to get ordained. And the roadmap for me to get ordained, I might as well have become an astronaut. It was impossible. It was an impossible. I mean, I said, there's no way. It's impossible. But since coming here, Todd has invested everything in me. We wrote, first thing we did was wrote down all the things I would need. It was like pages. Where I'd feel comfortable being an ordained minister. And last September, to be ordained as a minister. There was so much invested in me as a young man. And that came from good leadership. And would not have come any other way. Todd has always cared more about me as a person than what I can do for this church. Todd has always given me tremendous trust and freedom in my roles and never tried to control me or pull power trips. He has poured out tremendous attention and gifts on my family. He has truly inspired me to love the Lord and has truly inspired me to love people. I have benefited beyond anything mere words could express from submitting to his leadership. Todd not only has the gift of leadership, he carries the Father's heart and purposes for it. Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, have confidence in your leaders. Submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no benefit to you. Submit is an offensive word to us. But we need to embrace it because it's all over the Bible. Ephesians tells us to submit to one another out of love for Christ. We are to submit to everyone, but especially to our leaders. To our leaders, submission says, I give you the permission to serve me, to lay your life down for me, to love me. And to love me means I want you to do what's best for me, to speak into my life, to tell me when there's areas of pain that I need to deal with, when there's areas where I'm off track that are hurting others, please point those out to me. Submitting is being willing to embrace the leadership that God has given us. And it is okay to guard ourselves against leadership that is not godly and not right. But when God has given us right leadership and good leadership, we need to embrace it and celebrate it. And today is what this day is all about. For God has certainly given us good leadership. Submitting to good leadership puts me in a place to receive the benefits of good leadership. Submitting also keeps me from taking advantage of my leaders by laying my life down for them and having the right mindset to serve and support them as well. Today we have a unique opportunity to do that for Todd. And if you haven't taken the time to fill out those blue cards, please do that. One of the most meaningful things in my ordination is to have these blue cards from many of you that say, I see this call on you. I believe in you. Because after this day of celebration goes, and Todd is a bishop and carrying out his role, days will come when he's discouraged, when he feels unworthy, unable to do the things God has called him to do. And all I have to do is look at that box of blue cards that I have. Just look at it and begin to think about the things that people have written. And it has given me the confidence to carry on and to say, to believe the truth and not the lies of the enemy. There's nothing more amazing for me as a leader when somebody truly believes in me and supports me. It makes me want to serve them so much more. Over and over, God's word promises us that submission, our submission, leads to our blessing and our benefit. So do we need good leadership? Absolutely. On Wednesday night, we had three bishops come from outside of ROL who are in the line of apostolic succession, which means that the apostles had laid hands on men who laid hands on men who laid hands on men who have eventually laid hands and imparted something on these men that Jesus himself imparted. It's something that we as a body could never give Todd, but they have. Is that worth celebrating today? Absolutely. Because whatever he receives, it's going to flow downhill. And we're at the bottom of that hill. As elders and leaders of ROL, we desire to embrace the very leadership structure that was established by Christ and the apostles. And we desire to celebrate and support Todd as he takes the next step into his calling as bishop. So we ask you to join us in this celebration today.
Wow, what a day. Well, as a board of elders, having the responsibility to provide leadership and care for the body of Christ at River of Life Community Church, we have seen evidenced in the scriptures a clear model where both elders and apostles work together to provide leadership for the church. And having recognized the clear teaching of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians that Christ has given diverse gifts for the equipping of the saints, some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers. have concluded at this time that there is a need for the continuation of the ministry and message of the apostles through the office of bishop here at River of Life. We, together with the members of River of Life, the leaders of the churches in relationship with us, and the wider body of Christ, recognize an apostolic gift and calling on Todd Atkinson. At this time, we call on Pastor Bill to give testimony to this calling on Todd's life. Pastor Bill could not be here in person, so we've prepared this video in advance.
Good morning. We're in Edmonton catching up on some family time this long weekend with our daughter, Donna Ruth, and her husband, Ron, and our granddaughter, Rachel. But on this special occasion for Todd, I want to say, as a pastor, what a unique and inspiring experience it has been to watch his progress in following the Lord Jesus from early adolescent years, from high school to Bible school, to traveling around the world in evangelism, and to being president of Aston College. Todd has felt the call to apostolic ministry for many years, and I believe his 7 years as a pastor here in Lethbridge have seen the completion of the process. Among a variety of apostolic giftings, I think two stand out and are obvious in Todd's ministry. One is the many young men and women who are attracted and trained in ministry by him. The Apostle Paul frequently referred to his young co-workers in the gospel who were traveling with him. Timothy was one who traveled with the Apostle Paul, and Mark was another who traveled with the Apostle Peter. So, and we can read the long list of Paul's co-workers and companions in the gospel in Romans 16. Another apostolic gifting is Todd's open heart for other pastors and workers. He often meets with them, speaks on the phone with them to offer words of encouragement and to pass on words from the Lord and dreams from the Lord that lift them up in spirit. These are marks of an apostle. And of course, I could go on, but let me say that I believe Todd's ministry thus far is only a prelude, an introduction to a far greater, even more fruitful ministry that the Lord has in store for him and for Sherry and for River of Life and the city of Lethbridge. So we join you this morning in acknowledging the special ministry the Lord has given Todd and Sherry and pray for his continued anointing and blessing upon their ministry among us. And glory to God who through Christ gifts his church with apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. What a great opportunity we have here to work with the Lord in his vineyard. We are called his co-workers. He is the centerpiece of all that happens in his church. He's the chief shepherd. He is the Lord and head. Paul declared that the Lord Jesus was the foundation and chief cornerstone of the church. Hear this word from the Lord, written with brilliance and insight by the Apostle Paul, saying wonderful things in such few words, but saying things that apply to the community of Christ, a community here and elsewhere. Listen to them. Therefore, as God's chosen people, this is Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The peace of Christ, the word of Christ, the worship of Christ, doing all things in the name of him who is all in all. God bless and keep you and fill you with his love and his peace and his grace. Amen.
We now want to call upon the following individuals to give testimony to this calling upon Todd, as expressed in four areas central to the role of a bishop. The first one is in keeping Christ central. In his role as lead pastor of this church, Todd has been commissioned to keep Christ central in his church and ensure that the church is built upon the proper foundations. Would Ryan please speak to this experience, your experience with Todd in this area?
Thanks, Sean. Hey, Ryan, could you speak for 3 to 5 minutes on how Todd, your bishop, your overseer, your greatest father in the faith, friend, and co-worker, has put in you your most priceless of gifts, Christ-centeredness? How about I spend 3 to 5 minutes describing my displeasure with how much time you've given me for this subject? A young preacher came to my house for lunch after a service in Eston, Saskatchewan, and proceeded to wrestle with me and my two rambunctious brothers on the living room floor. And I remember the day well. I remember not ever touching a man who was so dressed up, actually. But then I also remember my brothers and I hanging on his tie. And so when I came here and was invited to work here, Todd gave me a gift, which was the tie that we stretched and destroyed that day. Which was his favorite, and he kept for years hoping somehow that he could fix it. Just as Jeff was speaking, I just saw a picture of Christ on his throne, surrounded by 12 thrones, with his apostles. As even now and for all eternity, they will be centered on Christ. And I thought if ever there was a man worthy of honor in this area, it's Todd. And it truly has been one of the greatest gifts that he has given me here in my 5 years here. So I'll just so I can keep it brief, I'll just read some things here. As Todd has led River of Life, I've seen an unwavering commitment to keeping the person and work of Jesus central in the preaching, worship, and practice of this church, shepherding her always into a deeper revelation of Christ and communion with his works, He has taught us that a glorious ecclesiology or doctrines of the church, what the church should look like, begins with and is defined, birthed, and produced solely by a high Christology. The greatest testimony of his ministry is the overwhelming sense from everyone that have been discipled and changed here is that it's happened by Jesus, not by Todd. When I think back on my years of growth and what's happened to me in this place, all I see is the person of Jesus. My experiences, what's changed in me, what's grown in me, are all experiences that I attribute to Jesus. That I see His face, not Todd's. Every memory and lesson and text, revelation and experience is held as coming directly from Christ Himself in the form of a personal encounter. One of the things I've seen Todd teach me in my process of development is the high view or role of revelation. That every new doctrine or every new text that I'm going to study, I study looking for Jesus Himself to impact me with it. After 5 years of sitting under Todd's teaching of the Scriptures, he spent 5 years in 4 Gospels. And he hasn't finished a single Gospel in that time that I... Which is just testimony to the fact that your work is not done here. My vision or my image of Jesus has become more than an idea or a theory. He has been revealed to me as one with real and tangible features. Todd, by the Spirit, has done something truly apostolic. He has passed on the apostles' living vision of Jesus. And there is nothing more Christ-centered than to paint such a vision of Jesus, such a vision of Christ, that all else, even the messenger, has been eclipsed by Jesus' glory. That in doing that, you have entered into the line of the apostles. And we celebrate you because we can barely see you past Jesus. Which means that you've served us well. You've loved us well. And as Jeb said, you've given us what we need most. And so, although I don't have problems with the word bishop, I'm probably most comfortable with just calling you Papa Todd. And we love you. I don't know who's next.
The next area is... Oh, before I do that, I have a... congregation, if you have also have observed or experienced Todd's efforts to keep Christ central in his church and build the church upon solid foundations, would you please stand? Thank you. You may be seated. The next area is safeguarding the gospel. Now, in his role as lead pastor of this church, Todd has been commissioned to proclaim, interpret, embody, and safeguard the gospel. Would John Myrtle please come forward and speak to your experience with Todd in this area?
These guys on the front row are really bad. Thinking about coming here this morning, I thought of painting half my face blue and shouting freedom. Uh, But Michael Larson and his team did a far better job in singing that beautiful song, so A1. Well, I have the great privilege this morning of sharing a few things about Todd's care and safeguarding of the gospel. I first met Todd in the Isle of Skye on the west coast of Scotland in 1999, I believe it was, and Sherry and little Cece, who's not little anymore, and makes you realize how old you're getting. But I was struck by this wonderful, wonderful family that had come to live in our community. Now, we get people coming from all over the world coming to the Isle of Skye because of its beauty and so on, but also its history of revival. But very often people who come will come and sort of tell you how you've done things wrong, and they want to promote their own ministries and their own giftings. They love that more than they love the people. What I was struck... about Todd in this area was he loved the people. He loved them as Christ loved them. And that's what made him stand out above anybody else I've ever met coming to the Island of Skye. He came as an itinerant preacher, and he came to be part of our church family in Killachan. As a Church of Scotland minister, you lead a very isolated kind of existence. Life is busy, as it is for the pastors here, it's busy. And you don't have much fellowship because there's always something to do. There's sermons to prepare for, there's meetings to go to, and so on. But Todd began to encourage myself and other ministers to come together and share fellowship and support one another, because you're stronger when you stand together with others rather than being an isolated figure. So about 5 or 6 pastors with Todd began to meet together weekly. We prayed for one another. We prayed blessing, encouragement, strength, nurture, all these kind of things to build the pastors up. Because I don't know if you know this, but sheep actually bite the shepherds. And there's a lot of bite marks on many a pastor's life in Skye. And through this man's love and leadership, we began to be healed. We began to be released more into our calling. He never promoted himself in any area. He always had a backseat kind of thing, but he gently encouraged and blessed and sort of pushed us forward. You know, in the Gospels it says, he must increase and I must decrease. Well, this man lives this out with regards to his faith and his love for Jesus. The pastors had gathered together. We called ourselves gatekeepers because we were like gatekeepers over our island and over our communities. And like these men in the Old Testament who stood their watch, we stood the watch on the ramparts of the city walls, of the island walls, to safeguard the gospel through Todd's leadership and encouragement. What's happening here today really is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Psalm 133 says this: how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It flows from the head down into the body. As Chip says, we're at the bottom of the hill, many of us, but my, are we catching the oil of gladness and joy that's been poured out on River of Life in these days? One of the things that really endeared Todd to the people of Skye was the way he walked with God. We had a lady in our congregation, and she was very skeptical about people coming to our church, and especially coming from another part of the world. And she was a bit of animosity in her heart towards Todd when Todd first arrived. But over a period of time, she watched Todd. She ran a bed and breakfast establishment, and she used to watch Todd walking in the morning out to the hills to pray. This was his practice. This was his custom. And slowly but surely, this lady's heart was turned towards this man. The day he left her church, she wept. Todd has been a huge blessing to me over these last 13, 14 years. And even when we were still in Scotland and he was here in, back in Canada, many a time a phone call would come at just the right moment. A word of advice, a word of encouragement, just to keep going and to keep our eyes on the Lord. His time, his phone calls were always timely. He was then a true overseer and a bishop, and even more so now. And we celebrate this today here in the church. Just in closing, my predecessor in the portrait, John Ferguson, the late John Ferguson, always used to quote this poem. I heard him preach it many times in sermons and so on. And this sums Todd up. Not merely in the words you say, not only in your deeds confessed, but in the most unconscious way as Christ expressed. For me it was not the truth you taught, to you so clear, to me seldom. But when you came to me, you brought a sense of him.
If, congregation, if you have observed or experienced Todd safeguarding the message as expressed in the Apostles' Creed, would you please stand? Thank you. You may be seated. The next area is in the raising up of leaders. Now, one of the functions of a bishop is to identify, train, support, and oversee church leaders. As a representative of those Todd has already walked with, to support and advance their ministry calling, would Amos please come and speak to his experience with Todd in this area?
Good morning. It's hard to know what to talk to when you have 3 minutes. There's so many people from my generation that have grown up without fathers, and I'm one of those people. But over the last few years, I feel like I've gotten to know what it's like to have a father. And you've been a spiritual father to me, and that relationship means the world to me. And I wish I had time to go into all of the examples of that. But I think when we talk about identifying and training and supporting and overseeing leaders, that's really what we're talking about, is the heart of a father. And so I can say, absolutely, you have the heart of a father, and you do those things well. A father can see good things in his children even when they can't, and you do that with me. You don't just see me as I am, but you see my potential. You see what God created, and you identify things in me that I don't really even know are there sometimes. And then when I'm ready, you start to show those things to me, and you call them out, and you help me to walk in them. Sorry for ignoring the rest of you. I just prepared this for you. A father desires to train his children to be the best that they can be, and it's obvious that you're committed to that. You're committed to training people well. And I'm just starting to be trained under you. I'm still on a journey to figuring out exactly what I'm doing and what my calling is. I get the impression that you know a lot more about it than I do. I'm still figuring it out. But that, I think, is part of what makes the way you train so beautiful and effective, is that you don't just give me all the answers, but you guide me and you help me to start asking some of the right questions and to see things for myself. So training leaders is not something that you do half-heartedly, not that you do anything half-heartedly, but you take it seriously and you do it well. And like a father, you support me in a way that I feel like I can't fail. But I've also noticed that you give support in a way that doesn't have an unhealthy dependence on you. I feel fully supported, but at the same time, I know that I'm dependent on Christ. And you do this by leading by example. If you walk into a room and everybody's looking up, you look up because you want to see what they're looking at. And when I'm around you, I'm always looking up to Christ because that's where you're looking. You're always looking to Him, and you're so focused on Him and so passionately in love with Him. So I think that you support leaders well, and that you're also careful to teach them to lean on Christ. I can't speak into all the ways that you exemplify being an overseer, but when I think of an overseer, I think of the protective covering that a father gives. It's a covering of authority, and being under the authority creates a place of safety. You provide a place that's safe to learn in and to grow in, and even where it's okay to make some mistakes. And I appreciate that. I think every time I make a mistake, you end up telling me how good of a job I'm doing. It seems counterproductive to me at the time, but you know my heart, and you bring correction when it's needed, but you do it in a way that's very gentle and careful not to damage something that's vulnerable. And I also know absolutely that you've got my back no matter what, and that means a lot. I think you oversee leaders well. I fully believe in this calling on your life, Todd, and I'm honored and privileged to have gotten the opportunity to speak into it a little bit today. So thank you. Thank you for being a good spiritual father to me and to so many others.
Now, if it's okay, I'm just going to take my elder hat off for a moment, and I'm going to interject here a little bit as well. I'd like to read two scriptures. First one is Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. And it says, "And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." And the next scripture is Luke chapter 1. And verse 17, it says, "And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." This is my own license in this particular moment, but I have to echo what Amos has said. As a spiritual son, and I know this is Aaron's heart as well, we have been receiving spiritual fathering for some time. And I think I can speak for Aaron and I, and I can speak for many here to say, our hearts are turned towards you, and our hearts are turned towards the Father because of you. So, congregation, if you have observed with others or experienced firsthand Todd's support to advance your call, would you please stand? Thank you. You may be seated. Last is maintaining unity. Given the responsibility of a bishop to maintain the unity of the Spirit within the church and across the wider body of Christ, Bishop Ron Kuykendall, would you please speak to your experience with Todd in this area?
I would be privileged to. So I just learned something, that when we're making mistakes and Todd said good job, that lets us know that. He tells me that all the time. So, huh. I was a little bit more excited a few minutes ago. I'm stealing Ryan's material, but nonetheless, here we go. Yeah, Ryan said, he tells me good job more than the rest of them. So we're just going to leave that alone. All right. I just want to mention from Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house, which brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Part of what it means to bring unity to the body of Christ is to have enough humility and respect to learn from other people as well as to teach from them. It's the easiest kind of relationship, simply to try to teach someone else. But when people come in that kind of attitude, as John Murdoch said so beautifully, no one will listen to them no matter how smart they are. It's only when we're humble enough, no matter how smart we are, how humble we are, to learn from people that they give us the right to pour into their lives. And Todd does that so beautifully. And I used to see him playing basketball or a million different ways. He was deliberate and acting like he knew nothing to earn the right in time for another day to maybe be useful for the Lord. He's done that in other denominations. He's done it for years outside of his own denomination. He's listened. He learned. When I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit and would actually ridicule him and hassle him, he was kind to me. I would have maybe smacked me, but he, looking back, he was so kind to me. And he's demonstrated that with a deliberateness and a commitment to following the example of Jesus in such beautiful ways that all of us know that's what he's like. And so there's a unity that comes from someone who's willing to appreciate the old treasures as well as hold on to and value the new treasures. And they're able then to do something very powerful that Jesus is talking about here in Matthew chapter 13. People who are instructed have all these things, but are also open to the kingdom, are able to reach into the past and to bring forth treasures to multiply and to help us better appreciate even the new treasures. And that's just as applicable today and what God's doing by his Spirit in this day as it was in the first century when Jesus said it. And not many people can look back and not get stuck there. We don't want to look back to the past and become part of museum curators. Years ago, my bishop said to me, he said he was out in the Outer Banks of Kitty Hawk in North Carolina. And he said the Lord gave him a prophetic revelation through a little child who was having a temper tantrum. He said, but the Lord spoke to him. He said that he was there and this little boy was arguing with his parents at the kiosk buying a souvenir. And there was various souvenirs that you get at these kind of kiosks. And one was this little monument that said, you know, little, you take it home, it's a little monument, and it says, you know, this is where the Wright brothers first flew or whatever. And it was nice, and the parents really liked that one. But the little boy is throwing a temper tantrum. He says, but I don't want a monument, I want a lighthouse. The danger of looking backward is we get a monument and we forget. We want to look backward and make sure we get the treasures, but we've got to be a lighthouse. And we've got to be looking into the future with the new treasures, even as we value the old ones. It takes a lot of wisdom, a lot of discernment, a lot of maturity to be able to do that in such a powerful way. And when I look at it, I'm someone who really loves the past. And the struggle for me is to ask, Holy Spirit, how can I understand properly and take these treasures and look into the future? But I've never been around someone that I think looks into the future with a respect for the past like Todd does. I really think he's a man for the moment. It's a little sad because if you look further in this chapter, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus says something very sad in commentary. He says the only place a prophet is without honor is... And the danger for you would be this. It's awesome that some of us have known Todd since he was described earlier, in the earlier service, as a gangly teenager. I've been described many things, but never gangly. Perhaps plump. Other words, but not gangly. Some of us know Todd because he was there, we went to Bible school with him. Or some of us, he came to our church. Some of us, he's been a friend. He's been a mentor. He's been a pastor. Today, none of that stops. He's been a son to parents. What a credible thing. None of that stops. Today, we just celebrate that in the purposes of God, that Jesus gives to his church riches, and the riches are people who have been bestowed with gifts. And one of those gifts is the apostolic gift of fathering. And I really believe that the key word for all apostles or bishops is really father, which has been mentioned so beautiful by so various, I think every single person mentioned that. Because we talk about establishing churches. Well, it's not just establishing churches, it's establishing healthy churches with the heart of the Father. It's not just about helping other people grow in the faith. It's about a father who would rather have sons be able to surpass them than to hold them down. See, there's all kinds of fathers. Apostles have the heart of the Father. True apostles who are operating maturity, meaning that they not only have an office, a place, but they operate in that place with the DNA of Jesus. And that's what that spirit of Elijah is all about. So today, what a privilege and honor that someone who can bring unity not only to the local church. Some of you, you always have to say, that's just Todd, my friend I love. And that'll be your primary thing. Todd's not self-important. He's not going to hurt his feelings if you call him Todd or you call him Pastor Todd. Just remember that according to the calling of God, he also gets to wear another hat, so to speak. I'm not talking about a mitre. That's true too, but I'm not talking about that. He's also been given the grace to be called from, there's deacons and there's elders or priests, and then from those elders, some are called who have a special grace to make leaders of Christ's glorious body better. That their particular grace is to help, to encourage, to affirm, to strengthen those who Christ has entrusted to his glorious body, the church. And a bishop in their primary function is to speak the words of affirmation, blessing, discipline if necessary, but to speak the words of the Father to those entrusted to the bride and to help us to get better. A few months ago, Todd came down, I don't know, maybe a month ago, whatever it was, he came down and I couldn't believe how anointed he was in helping me in our little church. I was like, wow, I knew you had all these other gifts, but boy, isn't that amazing. So it's not that he stops all these other things. He's still the little boy you knew when he was 2 or 3 or 4. He's still the little one we knew, 17. Some of you knew when he got saved and went to college with him, or he taught you at college, or the ones you came to know 2 years ago when you joined the church. It's just that we appreciate that another facet of the beauty and ministry of Christ upon his life is to bless other churches and other pastors that they can replicate and to bring about a glorious church for our glorious Savior. What a calling. You know how lucky I feel like that I get to be here? I'm a little jealous because the little boy from Lethbridge has made good. He's your kid. He's your guy. He's got your DNA. And in his love for Jesus, he is a grace given. He's from here. He's committed to here. But he's also been given as a gift to all kind of other places around the world. He's blessed our little church in Gainesville. He's blessed pastors all over this nation. He's blessed some other countries. We have a church in India, or a group of India, of over 1,000-something pastors saying, we want Todd to come and teach in the apostolic. And they end up being connected with the Nepali congregation right here. Places all over the globe where a part, a facet of the richness of God's call upon his life is being expressed. And it doesn't take away from River of Life. It's just another feather in the crown of what God's doing here. And Jesus looks good on him, but he looks good in you too. That in this congregation, this is what you're producing. Not every congregation could welcome all the young people that are here. They could embrace and love. And Pastor Bill has laid a foundation so that this day could come about. Otherwise, we wouldn't have an atmosphere and a soil that could receive this kind of transition. I really don't think it's going to look any different because I think he's been operating in these gifts for a long time. What I really think is we've just given you a vocabulary, however awkward or not it may be for you. But we've given you the vocabulary of the early church, of the New Testament church, that corresponds with what he's been doing for an awful long time. Bishops don't make bishops, although it takes 3 according to the tradition of the church. Bishops, it just takes 3 of us to have enough sense to see, yep, this is what God's doing in him, and we want to celebrate it. So bishops have come from all over. We've come, we did the service on Wednesday to say, not that we made something. Wouldn't it be cool if I could, but I can't. But I do have good enough vision to see what God has done and what God is doing. I'm not real bright, but I'm not a lunkhead. Is the easiest thing in the world to see what beautiful things God is doing here. And I celebrate with you this one from you who God is using here, but is your blessing to the nations. What an incredible thing. I'm just so thankful. Bless you, Todd. I got one little thing. when I was at Oxford, I hate to say antagonistic to the Holy Spirit. I didn't really know I was. I thought I was just against the weird people. I didn't know that they knew a lot more than I did about the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know that I'm the one that didn't know. I thought they were a little weird. And I certainly, Todd was contagious. You couldn't help but want to be around him, but he made me nervous too. He was always telling me, good job. But one of the things that bishops have is we have these things and they fit on, it's kind of, you know, you expect the Anglicans to figure something out of 500 years. It's sort of this practical thing in which you bless people with, and it fits on your fingers, so it's just sort of right there when you're blessing people. And it's a silly little thing. But it reminds me of the call of the Holy Spirit for healing in my life. And really, the first person that really laid an imprint in my life, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the first person I wanted to get a hold of and tell them was Todd. Because he had been such an example for me all those years. And so as a little tiny thing, I wish it was worth, it's gold colored, but it's not gold. It might be lead pipe. I don't know what it is. Yeah, don't put any water and drink out of it. But I'm so thankful for the way in which you modeled the Holy Spirit to me. I was not a good student. You've got an incredible amount of good students. I was not a good student. But God finally got a hold of me. My wife says somewhat. But I want to give you this today just to thank you. They've given you hugs and kisses, and I may give you that too. But I want to give you this and to thank you for the way in which God has operated my life. Because I found someone that I could not dismiss the working of the Holy Spirit in their lives as much as I wanted to. And I love you, and I'm so glad to be called your friend. Way more than bishop, I'm glad to be called your friend.
Well, congregation, if you have observed or experienced Todd's efforts to maintain the unity of the Spirit in our church and community, would you please stand? Thank you. You may be seated.
So having heard these testimonies and recognizing the need for apostolic leadership within this body and outside of this body and choosing to express these responsibilities through the office of bishop as modeled for us in the earliest church, we the elders do hereby invite Todd Atkinson, in addition to his lead pastor role, to function as our bishop. Congregation of River of Life, having heard these testimonies and the invitation of the Board of Elders, is it your desire to recognize this apostolic calling on our lead pastor and open the door for him to minister to us and to the wider body of Christ through the office of bishop?
Yes.
Will you uphold him in this ministry?
Yes. Todd, I'll invite you to come forward at this time. My dear brother in Christ, the church is the family of God, the body of Christ, and the temple of the Holy Spirit. All baptized people are called to make Christ known as Savior and Lord, and to share in the renewing of the world. So it's my honor to ask you these questions, Todd. As you have been consecrated to the office of bishop, will you now fulfill this office here at River of Life Community Church? Will you seek to keep Christ central in his church and ensure that that this church and any church we plant is built upon proper foundations? Will you proclaim, interpret, embody, and safeguard the gospel of Christ and to advance the gospel in new regions? As a servant leader, will you provide oversight to church leaders and churches and ordain others through the laying on of hands? Will you seek to maintain the unity of the Spirit across churches and to protect the continuity of the faith from the beginning to the present. In the name of our Lord, we bid you remember the greatness of the trust you entered into at your consecration. We exhort you to walk amongst us as bishop, following the clear direction of the scriptures, modeling yourself on the best examples of this office, shepherding, leading, and overseeing this body with the same love that Christ has for his glorious bride, the church.
Because you cannot bear the weight of this ministry in your own strength, but only by the grace and the power of God, pray earnestly for his Holy Spirit. Let us pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would rest upon you and be manifest in your ministry as it was in the original apostles. And we now invite the elders and the staff, the apostolic members here today to come forward to lay hands on Todd and commission him into this role. Would you also, as supporting congregation members, please rise and join us in prayer. As elders, as members of ROL and the body of Christ, we agree together, anoint you with oil, lay our hands upon you, and ask that the Spirit of God would come, give you a fresh anointing and infilling and empowering into this role as bishop. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for your glorious church, we release, commission, and anoint Todd as a bishop in your church, Lord Jesus. Come in your power, in your glory, in your majesty. God, we pray you continue to use him as a minister of your grace, of your glory, of your power here on this earth. God, we celebrate Todd and his ministry in our lives and in our church, in our city, and in our world. Thank you for the privilege of his leadership and for the privilege of co-leading with him. We bless you, Todd, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen.
As part of our, you can stay here, Todd. As part of our celebrations in this, in seeing Todd wedded to his call, we have organized just as a congregation to give him a few gifts. And so in the 9 o'clock service, we gave him this beautiful cross you can see here in the front. Bruce Mertz, is he here? There he is. Bruce's dad was kind enough and talented and gifted enough to make this. But just as Gary read there before we prayed, because you cannot bear the weight of this ministry, that's why we had this pectoral cross made. Was just to remind Todd of the weight he now carries. So many of you have, you know, contributed to buying Todd some gifts, and you can see there's some in the gym as well. And if you still want to, you can do that at the information desk or with Marcia. But in this service, we'd like to present Todd as a tool in his role as a bishop is like, so with Rob's church, when we plant that in the next month or 2 months, Todd will be going once a month, even just to do communion there, as he's done with us. And so this is a full-size communion set for him to take with him. And you can open it up if you want. I can hold it. It came with gloves and like, anyways, so you know Todd's love language. To show her love for Todd in the morning, Sherry often slips in communion wafers to his breakfast. Just to, Honey Nut Cheerios and port wine, and it's kind of. Anyway, so these are just symbols of our support and our love and celebration of this week, Todd. So.
Well, that's an awful lot of talking about me. That's an emotional morning. The last 3 years has been actually some of the best of my whole spiritual journey. And because the Lord has been fulfilling Isaiah 61 in my life, his healing he has to the brokenhearted. And that journey came by he telling me that I was telling him what was in my heart and could feel something was wrong and didn't know what. And he told me what you're describing is what the Bible calls brokenheartedness. He said, you preach about brokenheartedness, but you think it's a category you don't belong to. It's always someone else brokenhearted, and it's you, Todd. And one of the items of brokenheartedness that came up in my healing journey the last 3 years, and it was very deep in me, but I didn't know it. I had swallowed a lie somewhere along my journey that said, I really love serving people, but nobody in the world would ever think that I was worth serving. So 3 years ago, the Lord brought that right to the surface. Well, that's not true, Todd. And I had to work on that one a bit, and or a lot. And so this week has been a culmination of some of that healing when people who I've served and loved to serve, now the shoe has been very much on the other foot. And they are, you're serving me so handsomely and selflessly and beautifully that it's a bit breathtaking, sometimes a little bit embarrassing, but wonderfully healing. And I thank you for thinking, for being able to receive it when I serve your calling. Thanks for thinking that my calling was worth serving too. And by demonstrating that so vividly, especially on Wednesday at the consecration and today at the celebration, thank you from the bottom of my heart. When I've been reading through the ordination and consecration texts in Exodus and Leviticus, in preparation for my own consecration, you go back to remind yourself what those words mean. So they originate in Exodus and Leviticus when the priesthood was ordained and consecrated. And one of the things that struck me afresh when I read them this year is that Aaron was a high priest, But there's a phrase that's used repetitively. Aaron and his sons. Aaron and his sons. There was an anointing that came on a family. Aaron just led the way, but it came on a family. The Levitical tribe, the Levitical family. It was more than just about one person. And that even the vestments that Aaron was ordained and consecrated in, and anointing oil was put upon them. Again, I've read it many times, but it was only a few weeks ago I noticed those vestments were kept. They were considered holy unto the Lord. And those were the vestments that you used to do the next generation. Same vestments. What a powerful symbol of something flowing and something not just being about one person, but about being about a family. And I grew even more excited about what was happening in my life, knowing that it wasn't just about me. And I found that many, many people in our congregation have had that sense of instinct, that sense of gut feeling that I think this is about me too. This is about my calling, and that the Lord Jesus has us all in mind. But part of leadership is to take the boldness to step into your calling, which empowers others to do the same. If I had held back on this, and I knew that people didn't always understand, but I've not always done things just because people understood them. But I fully knew if I had held back on my calling, I would have shut down the air. I would have robbed the very atmosphere of the kind of empowerment that people need to step into your calling, especially when your calling is a little unique. I would have disempowered you. And I wasn't prepared to do that. And so I'd like to, this may be a few announcements, but I would like to close and I want to pray for your calling. Okay? I want to pray for your calling. I want to pray that something that Jesus put on the original apostles was faithfully handed down through the centuries. I want Jesus through that legacy to reach his hand and put his hand on you. That you'd feel the value of your calling and the hope that there is in your future. And maybe you know you've got a little bit of an unusual calling. I hope you feel all the more empowered today to know that yours is not discluded. Just because people may not understand it around you. To know that you're in a body that'll work it through till we do understand. And that you are worth serving. Would you bow your heads with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, all good gifts come from above. All true callings come from you. And one calling is as beautiful as the next. One calling is as important as the next. And you put us into a body to remind us every day that it's not just about us. That we get to serve others and put them ahead of ourselves. And in so doing, they end up serving us and advancing your call upon us. So, Father, I pray that you put upon your Son, Jesus Christ. And that which our Lord Jesus Christ put upon his apostles. That would be released in our day and in our generation. It would be released in our country. Something from God through Jesus, through the apostles, through the church to us. That you would empower us, guide us, direct us, make us in every sense an apostolic church. The heartbeat. The heartbeat of the original apostolic church. And that this next year, would be an explosive year for all of us in many ways. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, what you promised me 25 years ago. You have faithfully delivered upon. And now I stand in faith for others who have been waiting upon you, waiting for their calling to come of age. And I stand on guard for their promises and for their future. Hallelujah. Praying that all of these things would bring you great glory and pleasure. And that the gospel may be heard and believed upon across this your world. By the power of your Spirit, bring this to pass. In that blessed name of Jesus Christ, the name that makes our hearts leap within us. And all God's people said, amen.
So we want to close our service with the doxology. So I'm going to ask Melinda and Deanna and Lizzie to come forward. Just a couple of logistical things. The